Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is Jamie Russo. Thank you for joining me today. I am looking forward to sharing today's episode with you. I interview Dan Zakai, who is co-founder and CEO of Mindspace. They have over 30 locations internationally. Those of you outside of the US may be more familiar with the brand. They just launched their first two spaces in the US in the last year, in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. And the Mindspace team has attended the GWA conferences a few times, so I've met the team there. And then I had the pleasure of touring their space in San Francisco back in November and just loved it. It's totally my aesthetic. They have super fancy coffee machines on every floor, a really fantastic community management team, and just a great space. And so I was really interested in hearing their story, and Dan was kind enough to take some time out of his crazy travel schedule. I'm sure you can imagine 30 locations across, I can't remember how many countries. He says it in the interview. It's a lot. It keeps him super busy. And so I think you're going to love his story about how they've grown their brand, who they serve, things that we all think about in our business. I love hearing this from folks who have expanded and been through this process. And they've done it fairly quickly. It's not very common that we see 30 locations over 6 years and that they've done, you know, so well. I was especially impressed with their ability to scale that experience to the US, where they, you know, that's not where their core team is, but I had a great experience visiting their San Francisco location. And as you can imagine, I have a bit of a high bar when I visit spaces. So can't wait to introduce you to Dan. Before we get to that, really quick, the Coworking Startup School opening the doors at the beginning of March. Several of the students from the last couple of cohorts are starting to launch their spaces. Lots of activity in our flight group, which is a program we run to extend that coworking startup school experience. This program is for you if you are working on starting a space and are looking to invest in doing it right. You want to avoid costly mistakes and stress by getting expert and peer support in a highly facilitated environment. We want to make sure you create the right space for you and your target market right from the beginning. We want to make sure you get the business model right so that you are set up for financial sustainability that matches your goals and gives you the headspace to build a really strong community. We'll review your pro forma, help you with product mix, design, sourcing furniture, working with vendors, getting your marketing systems down, hiring the right team, or learning to run the space yourself and getting you set up with the right tech and more. Now, you can absolutely piece a lot of support together from the podcast and the Everything Coworking Facebook group. This program is for people that want to invest in access to a package that provides the information, resources, and support you need when you need it, in the order that you need it, and accompanied by individual access to me, other industry experts, and a curated peer group. So if this sounds like a fit for you, learn more at www.coworkingstartupschool.com. Make sure if you're interested, you go to that link, www.coworkingstartupschool.com, and hit the notify button, because I don't like to oversend emails to the general mailing list. So if you're interested, please get on that specific list. Okay, now on to our interview with Dan. I am sitting here this morning. It's a little early for me, but not for Dan Zakai, CEO and co-founder of Mindspace. He is based in Israel, and he has a crazy travel schedule, and I can't wait to hear what's happening with the business. Dan, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Jamie.
Yeah, it's great to sit down, and we didn't do a lot of pre-chat because I know you're on a clock today, but we have not gotten to really connect, and so I can't wait to hear your story and hear a little bit more about Mindspace and where you're going. So your co-working space brand is a global boutique co-working space with locations in Tel Aviv, London, Munich, Amsterdam, London, and more recently, San Francisco and Washington, D.C. Tell us the Mindspace story. What was your co-working moment? How did you come to start Mindspace?
Yeah, sure. So yes, Mindspace is a global boutique, flexible workspace provider. We have 30 locations across 7 countries, mainly in Europe, but also Israel and the US, as you've mentioned. We're highly focused on providing premium experience to co-working users and flexible workspace users across those 7 countries. We started the company about 6 years ago from Tel Aviv. We then grew the business to Europe and most recently have launched our 2 spaces in the US, in San Francisco, in Washington, DC. I guess my co-working moment was in the early days of the company when we launched our first space here in Tel Aviv. You know, back then, 6 years ago, co-working was not what it is today. It was a way more basic offering and product than what we're seeing today. And we took a leap of chance and brought in, we were the first co-working space in Tel Aviv. The first one, as you know, co-working spaces today. So before that, there was only small spaces with flexible workspace, with workstations and a coffee and a Wi-Fi. So we took it to a whole new level, prime location in the heart of Tel Aviv, which is the tech city. And, you know, a few weeks after we launched the space, we started filling it up so quickly. We had members coming in, getting the space to 100% occupancy, which was great. But what was even more impressive was the fact that, you know, I was running the space on my own, wanting to make sure that I know what is going on. And I had just so many people coming to me saying, you changed our lives. You know, in the past, we used to work in those cubicles or coffee shops.
Yep.
And, you know, I think at that point, when we had a space that was at 100% occupancy in the heart of Tel Aviv with such a high member satisfaction, I knew we nailed it. And I knew that this was the right place to be at the right time.
Dan, what did you do before co-working? What was that sort of pain point for you that you saw that opportunity to create a space that was kind of up-leveling what was available at the time?
Yeah. So before Mindspace, I was a co-founder of a solar energy company, one of the largest solar energy companies in Israel to date. And prior to that, I was an investment banker with Lehman Brothers and HSBC. And I think, you know, in all of the places that I've been before Mindspace, you know, I always felt that a work environment should be different. I mean, we all spend most of our lives in the office. And back then, you know, looking at tech companies, the global tech companies that were providing a superior work environment to their employees, I thought to myself, well, I want to have it as well. And I want to make it accessible to
level the playing
field. You don't have to work. Exactly. You don't have to work for Google or Facebook to have a really, you know, inspirational work environment. And I think, you know, Mindspace was the playground to let us do that, to deliver the best work experience for our members. And basically, whatever crazy idea we have about how to design the place and what do we want to offer to our members, we can actually do it. And as long as the members love it, and as long as the companies see that this is what enables them to attract and retain talent, then it's a win-win situation for everyone.
Dan, you might be the only investment banker that has gotten into co-working so far.
I won't stereotype investment bankers,
but I have my MBA is from the University of Chicago and we produce a lot of investment bankers. They aren't
Me
usually
too, Jamie, the, by the way. I did my MBA at Chicago as well.
You did? I didn't know that. Oh, we'll have to talk about that afterwards. Yeah, I was just thinking, I was like, I wonder if we have a couple of people that you probably have in common. Anyway. Yeah. Funny. So yes, most of the investment bankers I know were not the community types, but the thing you had going for you is sort of that business mindset. I think that's a passion of mine is helping people understand the model. Because to your point, you know, in the early days and even today, we get a lot of people who are really passionate about getting into the space, but don't get the model quite right. So you'd come from startup and investment banking. Who did you think you would serve at the time? And has that shifted as you've expanded across 30 locations in several countries?
Yes, I think, you know, broadly speaking, our industry is changing so fast. And the challenge is really, you know, figuring out where we're headed next. And when I started the company 6 years ago, it was mainly about startup companies and freelancers.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the reason why Tel Aviv was such a great place to start the company. And when sourcing our first location, we went to the heart of the startup nation, which is, you know, one of the main streets where all the companies are at. So this was, you know, purely about startups and freelancers. But as time went by, we started seeing larger companies coming in looking, you know, for the same customer experience and the same level of work environment that we were providing only for larger groups. So, you know, over time, we started seeing innovation centers by the large corporates and then services companies. And I think now we're basically serving almost any type of company from any type of industry, you know, from companies ranging from 1 to 600 employees across all of our locations. And generally speaking, Mindspace has a lot of over 40% of our member base is enterprise companies taking larger spaces with us. And I think that's something that, you know, in the very early days of the company, we never predicted. But as we saw where the market is shifting, we started making the right adjustments to be able to cater for that segment in the market.
Yeah, do you know, so I just toured your space in San Francisco a couple of months ago, and I had not seen one of your spaces yet. And I think the thing I really loved about it is it's so beautiful designed, totally my aesthetic, and but so professional and yet comfortable. Your team had just finished up a member event. You could see, you know, logos on doors, to your point, Fortune 500 companies, startups, there were people hanging out in the open space, like kind of a good mix for everyone, but it felt right. It felt like, you know, a beautiful space that was professional, but also, you know, kind of comfortable. And your team, Jack, I think was the community manager who gave us a tour, was fantastic. And I thought, this has got to be a real challenge for you operating across multiple countries. And then, you know, especially coming to the US, which is geographically so far away, how has that shift been for your team?
Yeah, I think one of our biggest challenges had always been, how do we localize Mindspace in every market that we go for? And luckily, you know, we've penetrated 7 countries so far, 15 cities, every city is different. So, you know, the challenge was, how do we create, you know, the right basis so we will be able to provide this professional environment that you have felt in San Francisco? And I'm glad to hear that this is what you sense. But also, how do we bring that Mindspace edge into every location? How do we make it a true boutique location? Because boutique means it has to be tailored, you know, even to the level of the neighborhood that you're in. Yeah. And you know, so we take, you know, on the design level, we take inspiration from the place where we launch our locations. We use local artists. We buy furniture from the local flea markets. And, you know, we study the history of the place in order to bring that to life in our design. So design and localization is one thing. But I think that the bigger thing is we created this culture in the company. Everybody, although we have 30 or 40 nationalities in the company, everybody speaks the same language. And that's the Mindspace language. It's about how you approach our members. It's about the fundamentals of the company that are then being localized and adjusted based on the market that we operate in. And, you know, San Francisco or DC are no different in that sense from Munich or London or Tel Aviv. You know, the type of members that we cater for, large companies, enterprise companies, startup companies, those are all international organizations or organizations that are working around the globe. So really is, you know, the same challenge, but luckily we have mastered, you know, overcoming this challenge over the past 6 years, because this is how the company was originally built, to make sure that we localize our product for every city.
Yeah. I mean, but 30 locations in 6 years is serious business. I mean,
I don't know. It still feels pretty slow to me. I would want to have more.
says the impatient entrepreneur. Yeah,
exactly.
But 6 years is like a blink. I mean, to create a culture and a space that can thrive across those cultures and across countries, I think is an accomplishment. There are not that many brands operating internationally today. You know, when you look at it, especially, you know, 30 locations. So I'm curious, because you have that lens, how is the co-working sort of market different in Europe than it is in the US right now?
Well, it's not very different. And I mean, comparing the US to Europe, generally, it's pretty difficult. I think, you know, we operate in gateway cities in Europe as well as in the US. So you know, the things that you see in prime cities in Europe and prime cities in the States are pretty much, you know, similar to one another. Okay. So the localization, the adjustments that we have to make, regardless of whether it's a US market or European market, you know, the one thing that we are seeing, and, you know, which takes me probably to your next question, is we came into the US market mainly because of the landlords advanced thinking on this market. So what we are seeing that is different in the US market is landlords' perception about the industry. So I think US landlords in general understand that co-working is here to stay, flexible workspace is here to stay, and to take a meaningful chunk of the office market in general. And they want to take more active role in this transition. And so, you know, Mindspace is right now in advanced discussions on partnering with landlords in order to provide, you know, flexible workspace management in their portfolio. So I think, again, that's the biggest difference that we're seeing between the two markets.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, even in the US, as you're seeing, certainly the institutional landlords are getting there. The market is so fragmented, the commercial real estate market. So in smaller cities, that is not always the case. But yeah, progress.
And a good progress for the industry.
Absolutely. And there are not, again, you're just in such a great position. There are not very many operators who are well positioned to partner with landlords, especially across geographies. You know, a lot of folks just don't have that experience yet. They've been really regionally focused. So
I agree. And I think that Mindspace is well positioned also because of our track record. So, you know, we're a profitable company. Our spaces are running at 93% occupancy. So the company is doing great. And I think that, you know, what landlords wants to see is an excellent customer experience, which we have. But also, you know, it needs to support the fundamentals of the business. It has to work.
Right.
And it works for us, and I'm happy that it does, because now we're in a great momentum to pick it up with landlords.
I mean, the other advantage you have when you've done 30 locations is the iteration, right? Like your San Francisco space, right amount of phone booths, you know, amenities on every floor. Like, and you're, by the way, I was probably driving Jack crazy when we were doing the tour, your coffee machine on every single floor. I was like, you're kidding me. You know, I get the sense that it's part of your brand to, you know, offer this kind of high-end amenity and make it easy to get to and easy to access for folks. And I was envious of the coffee machine and on every
floor. You're welcome for coffee anytime.
I know, totally. So you expanded into the US fairly recently. San Francisco and DC were your first two locations here in the last couple of years. So 2019 was a pretty interesting year for co-working. So what's your take on what does the industry look like? How will things develop in 2020?
Yeah, so 2019, definitely an interesting year for the industry that's got a lot of attention very recently. You know, from Mindspace perspective, we had the best year we've had ever. We doubled our revenue. We took the company to profitability. Our entire portfolio is profitable. So a very good year for Mindspace. I expect 2020 to be even better for Mindspace and for the industry as a whole. I think that, you know, demand for co-working and flexible workspace is not going away. It's just growing. You know, we're in discussions with our tenants, with our enterprise customers, with our members on a daily basis. We know what they feel like about our spaces. We measure, you know, their level of satisfaction, and we know it's just the beginning. And you're seeing markets such as London, New York, in which flexible workspace is already taking a meaningful chunk of the market. And our prediction is that other markets will follow the same pattern. So, and if you look at it, it just means that, you know, the pie as a whole is going to continue to grow. And, you know, our aspiration is to take advantage of this continued growth in the business. And I think one of the most interesting opportunities the market takes me back again to the landlord partnership structures that Mindspace is now pursuing. We have this new offering for landlords. We call it Mindspace for Landlords. So in fact, what we do is we partner up with landlords and we offer them a full package in managing their flexible workspace and amenities in their building. So if you think about it, we have a team on the ground. We've been doing this for the past 6 years, making sure that customer experience is the best possible for employees in buildings. And whatever we do here for Mindspace members, we can do for other tenants in the building as well. And so by partnering up with landlord, we not only offer them, you know, higher income than what they would get as a rent, but we make the whole building more attractive as a whole. So in the past few months, we have signed a few of those partnerships. We're targeting a lot more for 2020. So I think it's going to be a great year for the industry. I think it's going to be a great year for Mindspace. I also think that due to the recent developments in the industry, we're going to start seeing, you know, the quality operators taking a bigger piece of the pie,
yeah,
and less newcomers coming into the industry, because it's becoming all about expertise and execution capabilities right now.
Yeah. And I think for the enterprise customer, you know, with my GWA hat on, I have those conversations and they're trying to understand, right, who are the operators who can serve their needs across geographies and internationally. And, you know, as we talked about earlier, they're just, that takes a special, well, it takes funding, it takes, you know, years in business, it takes expertise and technological capabilities that, you know, are starting to become unique. But I think they're also looking for diversity. You know, they're looking outside of the top couple of players for options for their teams and where they can put them and keep their teams happy and keep the technology working, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you recently produced a research report kind of about employee engagement and wellness at work. What are some of the findings in that report? And I'm going to link to that report in the show notes. So if anybody wants to grab it, there's both a US version and a global version of that report. But what are some of the findings that came out of that that help you design and operate your spaces?
Yeah. So we found a direct linkage between work environment and employee happiness. So in fact, all of the things that we've been investing in for the past few years, design,
coffee machines,
meeting rooms, events, you know, activities, benefits, all of those things are directly linked to employees' happiness. Now, we all know that, you know, the most important asset any great company has, it's their employees. So if we can show that it has a direct linkage to their efficiency, to their happiness, to retention, et cetera, I think, you know, it's a very big statement. So, you know, it's not just about having the best workspace environment just for the sake of having it or saying it. It does create better companies with happier employees. Another point to mention is that according to our survey, US employees are the happiest. So yeah, I think that's an interesting fact.
I thought that was an interesting finding as well. And I think that'll continue as options, the variety of options and the availability of options for folks in, you know, major markets and smaller markets continues. And, you know, kind of to your point, as operators become more sophisticated in their offerings, because even as recently, to your point, as, you know, 6 years ago, when you first came into the market, the sophistication of design and kind of understanding some of these key drivers was just not necessarily there for the operators. There was a passion for providing space and bringing people together, but it's not as simple as that, right? There are so many factors that go into designing a space that's both attractive for the user and profitable on the back end. So it seems like you guys are finding that sweet spot.
Yes, definitely. And again, every market is different. Every market has its own requirements. We spend a lot of time figuring out what do the members in Berlin, you know, are looking for versus members in London or San Francisco. So, you know, different tastes require different planning and different design aesthetics. But, you know, that's the challenge. And that's why we're so passionate about this business, because it's never easy. And from our perspective, it's not a cookie cutter. We need to nail every place to make sure that when a member walks in, not only they have, you know, the right work environment for them, but they're also excited by what we're doing. And they feel the fact that we have made it, you know, especially for them. So I can totally relate. And at the beginning, you know, we spend hours and hours with our members to figure out what are they looking for, what should we do and what shouldn't we do. And now it's a lot of it is about data. We measure efficiencies. We measure what members are looking for, what works better and what doesn't. So constant improvement and development as the market is being, you know, more demanding and competition is rising. So you have to be on the top of your game constantly.
Yeah, although that's another benefit of scale. When you have 30 locations, you can capture data and you can get sort of meaningful insights and iterate and, you know, make improvements over time. So yes, it sounds like you have a busy 2020 coming up. What can you give us a hint on your next locations or top secret?
US expansion, European expansion. We're working on a lot of deals right now, which we hope will come to fruit very soon. Nothing to announce yet, actually something very soon coming in, but I can't disclose at this stage, but I can guarantee 2020 is going to be a very exciting year for Mindspace. We hope to grow, but you know, it's not just about growth. It's about making it right. It's about, you know, having locations that provide, you know, an excellent work environment for our tenants, for our members that will be able to grow with us. It's about having a profitable and responsible growth. So we want it all. It's not just about growth, but growth is definitely, you know, one of the exciting things that we hope to achieve this year.
There's the Chicago MBA coming out. Profitable growth, not just growth at all costs. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Totally Chicago.
So Dan, our conference is in DC again this year. We don't usually repeat cities, but DC is a great city and just a great location for our attendees. So we hope we can put your location on our tour list so that we can give folks a chance to peek inside who haven't seen one of your locations.
Definitely. Last year's conference was great, and I'll be happy to attend again.
Good. Awesome.
When is it?
I was in my notes to give you the dates when we're done, but we'll do it live so that everybody can mark their calendars.
Exactly.
It's September 23rd through the 25th.
Got it.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to send you.
Yeah, exactly. No, Dan, I know you have a flight to get to, but thank you so much for sharing your story. And I think there are a lot of folks who are just getting to know Mindspace, and clearly you're a force. And I look forward to seeing your progress over the next year and hopefully seeing you in DC in September.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Jamie. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.